Okay, I think I'd like to welcome everyone. Thank you for coming. I think we should start now. I did get some apologies from our colleagues. Alan Greenberg cannot attend. Byron is conducting a CCNSO council meeting at this point, unavoidable. And our RSEC colleagues are also involved in meetings here in the Washington, D.C. area. But we have a full contingent here. The agenda is on the screen as follows. I'm finishing my welcoming remarks. We'll turn it over to Fadi for some remarks by him. We'll have a summary of the public comments of the CCWG second drafts by Teresa. Number four will be a discussion of our meetings in Dublin and preparations for those meetings. And five will be an update on the SOAC services inventory and activities matrix. And six would be any other business. Again, with our custom, we do record the call for our note-taking purposes. And with that, I would hope there would be agreement on the agenda and the recordings. And then with that, we can start formally. Thank you very much. We'll follow our common practice of doing that. I would now like to turn the floor over to Fadi for some of his opening remarks. Fadi, please.
Hello, everyone. Happy to meet with you. It's early here in California, but I also invited board members, if they are able to join us, to come along. And the one who's actually also on my early time zone here in California, Shireen, agreed graciously last night to join us. So thank you, Shireen, for taking some time to be with the community and to share this dialogue with us. I think there are a couple of things that I wanted to bring up today that are important, I think, for all of us. The first, clearly, about the accountability effort that is ongoing. I think many of you will either participate or know that in the next couple of days, the CCWG on accountability will be meeting here in Los Angeles. I hope to participate myself, as many board members will, in their proceedings and support them in every way we can. So I wanted to just give you a little bit of an update on that and a view, and make sure that I hear from you as well some guidance as to how we can best support this important effort. The second thing I wanted to touch upon very quickly is to give you an update on some of the efforts that Alan Grogan has been undertaking, and I'm supporting him there as well as it relates to the big issue regarding copyright protections and ICANN's role in that. Let me start quickly with the accountability. Look, I do think that this effort, which is tremendous, and I mean this, I think the deepest respect for the work that the CCWG has done. This is a Herculean effort to bring together many good ideas on how we can strengthen ICANN's accountability. And there is no question in my mind that strengthening ICANN accountability is critical, as well as timely, as the U.S. backstop role, as many people call it, and Larry called it in his blog yesterday, the U.S. government's backstop role in ICANN's work as it relates to the IANA functions is about to disappear when the transition occurs. So I think we're all completely committed to this work, everyone. I frankly don't know anyone who isn't stakeholders, board, staff. The global community is watching very carefully, governments around the world. How is ICANN and this multi-stakeholder model standing up to this important activity? And I mention that because obviously we are in many ways the reference model for the multi-stakeholder approach and model. If we falter, if we do not produce something of consensus in a positive way, in a constructive way, in a humble way, as Mike Roberts said this morning, very skillfully in his blog, then we're not going to be, frankly, serving the multi-stakeholder approach as a whole globally well. So very, very important time. Now, as the community comes together, let me share with you what I think are key factors we should all keep in mind in the next few days. The first factor is to make sure that we focus on the charter of the Workstream 1 activity that you, as community leaders, have chartered the CCWG to go do. And that charter is very clear that this group should enhance the accountability of ICANN in order to replace the role that the U.S. government has played as the backstop for the community to our activities, especially in its role as the holder of the IANA functions contract. That's the charter. That's what you ask them to do. That's what the world needs them to do. And that's what Larry reminded us of unequivocally yesterday in his blog. That's the first factor that somehow we need to focus on and remember as we move forward at this stage. The second thing to do is to say, do we have consensus on that, on the elements that are necessary to meet that charter? And maybe we have consensus on everything we need. Maybe we have consensus on additional things. Great, let's identify them. Because we've been at this for a year, and instead of descending into a legal duel, which none of us need or want, I think what's most important is to step back and say we've received community input. We've received the boards being a community input like any other, but we received much broader community input. Where do we have consensus? And then finally, we should ask ourselves about, once we have the answers to these first two factors and questions, we should ask ourselves about timing, meaning if we have achieved our charter and have consensus on everything we need, do we want to keep going given the timing issues related to the transition? In other words, is timing important, or should we keep going past our charter possibly and past the consensus to get consensus on even more things, or is 90% or 80% or enough? So where are these factors, and what are the answers to these questions should be at the center of our calm dialogue, our hopefully wise dialogue in the days ahead. And I'm very confident that the chairs of the CCWG, who are without question deeply committed to the success of this endeavor, will hopefully lead us in the right way there. Now, I prepared a slide to answer those questions myself. And so take this very much as a personal effort that I just finished with my partner here, Teresa, yesterday. And I'll share it with you. Susie, I think Teresa sent you the slide late last night. If you could just put it up. It's just a slide to reflect at least where my best understanding is of the answers to these questions. So if you look on the left side of this single slide, you'll see a list of, I think, Teresa, it's what, 19 elements to the ICANN accountability? That,
yes,
that appear in the documents, right? Now, if you look at these 19 elements, just so you understand how I did this chart, At the top, there are a few elements that are shaded in kind of a light red or pink. Those are the elements that represent all the CWG dependencies on the accountability. In other words, the requirements that the group led by Jonathan Robinson and Lisa made very clear are necessary. And so all those are at the top because they're critical. But now, if you keep going on the right-hand side, let me explain the four columns to you. The first column is my best judgment of what I think are the elements on the left that are necessary to replace the USG backstop role in the IANA contract. If you really look at what the US government does in its contract today, which I believe is the charter of work stream one of the CCWG, I think those seven items, frankly, more than cover everything the U.S. government does in its backstop role today. And if we were to strengthen those things, then we could be meeting all those requirements. The next group of things are things that are beyond that requirement, but frankly, address additional accountability measures that we seem to have broad agreement on today. In the, if you look at the comments the community sent, including the boards, including where the CCWG is, it seems that we have broad agreement on those items as well. So we have broad agreement on the first column, and that meets, in my judgment, the backstop role that the government plays. We have broad agreement on the second column, and that's good, even though it's beyond the requirement. The third column are things where we have broad agreement on the requirement, but we have no agreement on how to implement it. An example of that, obviously, is the how we empower the community with new legal enforcement. I don't think we have disagreement that we should do that. And that's an important point, by the way. That's a very important point. We agree on that together. We have broad agreement on that in general. We disagree on how to implement it. And therefore, this is the third column. And the fourth column are things where, frankly, at least to my understanding, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding is that those things are there. But if I look at the comments that came from the community, it doesn't seem that we have broad agreement on those things. So this is simply an effort. It's an effort to genuinely try and find how much agreement do we have. And if we have broad agreement on all those things, and we meet the requirements and the charter of the CCWG that was set by all of you, by your organization, how much farther do we want to go? Should we stop here? Should we continue until we solve everything in column 3 and column 4? This is important, and we need to, together, make that call. Now, again, my judgment on what is in column 1 versus column 2 is up to us. But it is hard for me to argue that having legal enforcement for the community is a role that replaces the backstop of the U.S. government. I think Larry will be with us this weekend. I think if we asked him, he would not think that the U.S. government today has a legal enforcement role on a decision we would make on budget, for example, or on replacing a board member. These are things that go beyond, I believe, where we are today. But if we can get them done, I think we should. So there's nothing against them, as I want to assure you, and I'm very, very comforted by that, is that everyone seems to have at least broad agreement that these are good things to do. They're not impossible to do. But we have a question of timing, and we have a question of requirement. So I'll stop here. This is the best effort on my part, but I meant it to be more of a dialogue. slide rather than, you know, me advocating anything. I'm trying to understand where we are, and I'm trying to get us all to the best possible place where we can be clear on where we are aligned, be clear on how committed we are to a solution, and come together and build consensus like no one can do. We are at a point where we need to come together. Time is running out for all of us on this. Let me switch to a second subject quickly. I do believe that community has been very keen for ICANN to clarify its role in the area of IP enforcement. Alan Grogan has written, as you know, a number of blogs. He has clarified he has been engaged, I must say, in incredibly solid, broad consultation with many people in the community, talking to all sides of this dialogue to make sure ICANN fulfills its responsibility. I hope you agree with me that when I made the statement that ICANN should not be the content police, that we should stand by that commitment to not be both the police and the enforcer. In other words, we cannot be the one deciding where there is an infringement and then also be the ones who then enforce contracts on that infringement. I don't think that would be a good place for us to be, because if we do it for copyright, then why not do it for pharmacies, and then why not do it for terrorism, and then why not do it for crime, and then why not do it for religious hate speech, and that will never end. And that's not our role, that's not our mission, that's not our remit. Having said this, we are part of a solution that needs to emerge. We also cannot shrink away from our role as a community. I'm not speaking here about me or Alan, I'm speaking all of us as a community. And I think our positioning and our posture has always been cooperative, willing to work with those who come to us, and I think we should continue to believe and act as part of the solution. But we are not the whole solution. And that's a message I've been delivering personally, along with Alan, to many of the leaders in the IP community, and committing to them that we will work with others, but we cannot be the solution. Nor can ICANN be the convener or the facilitator of the solution. Because I have learned, personally, that our community is very fierce about maintaining our remit. When I went outside that box, and I don't need to remind you about these lovely moments, I think the community was very clear that we should not be convening or funding or pushing efforts forward that are outside of our remit. So I think that is a key message, and we need to work with the copyright community, who are duly frustrated. We need to work with them in a very positive and engaged way, and I have started this to find, to help them outside of ICANN, but with the participation of ICANN when there is the proper framework to build the solution. And we should do this in good faith for the public interest, but within our remit and within the limited role we play, we will play it in good faith. So I just wanted to give you that heads up as I have started to support Alan to deliver this message. And if anyone has a view or disagree with that posture, I'd appreciate your help, because we need to make sure we preserve our role. And finally, I just want to make sure before I hand it back to David that I mentioned something about the public interest, that we have not in any way neglected the community's call for a review or a redo, in a way, of the definition of public interest within ICANN's remit. We realize fully that this is an effort that should be driven by the community with help from staff, but also appreciate that the community is slightly busy right now with other things. So I've asked staff to do some background work or research, kind of develop what I would call just briefing work, but it is not our role, and if anyone is concerned that staff is defining public interest, please be assured we're not doing any of that. We're just trying to understand what it means for IT, what it means for legal, what it means for every department, for example, to act in a public interest. How would that change their behavior? This background work will be immediately available to you once we're ready to tackle that definition together as a community. Nora Abu Sitta, who reports to me, is handling that background activity. And I know she has reached out to many of you to get guidance on how best to approach this. If you have any questions on this, obviously, she's my point person on this, and I'd appreciate if you could help her and work with her so that soon we have a definition that is built by all and agreeable to all. Thank you, David, for the time you afforded me. Thanks.
Thank you, Fadi. We'll now open up for any comments or questions. Either raise your hand in the chat or let me know. We also have some notes that Nora will be engaging the GNSO Council on the public interest later today at the GNSO Council meeting to follow up on some of the comments that Fadi made. They will be able to have interactions. With that, I recognize Michele, and Patrick is next. Michele.
Thanks, Michele, for the record. I'll try and keep this quite brief. Fadi, thanks for the two interventions there, the two different topics. With respect to this kind of matrix thing around the ICANN accountability, while I realize that this is drafted from an ICANN perspective, I think it is quite helpful, especially for those of us who don't really have the bandwidth to read every single document and follow every single email and every single meeting. I mean, a lot of us are conscious of the importance and everything else of all of this work, but we all have day jobs. So, you know, for both myself and for a lot of our members, this kind of thing is very, very helpful. With respect to the second thing around copyright, as Chair of the Registrars, I am thankful that you are working with Alan on this and that you are reiterating the position that ICANN should not be the content police. I'm happy that you're taking that position, and I've, along with others, I have spent many hours on phone calls with Alan over the last 10 months on and off, so I'm conscious of the complications, the complexities of the issues that he's trying to address. It is an awkward one. I mean, you said a couple of things that at one level could be seen as being partially contradictory, or if not at least contradictory, a little bit confusing, because you're saying on the one hand you want to work with people, but on the other hand you're saying that ICANN shouldn't be seen as a convener or anything like that. So that's, I can understand what you're trying to get at, but at the same time, I think in some ways you might be sending a slightly mixed message. I'll shut up now. Thank you.
And a follow-up to that came in the chat from Jonathan Robinson about the work on copyright with Alan Grogan. What does it mean in practice, and are there any practical examples of what exactly is being done?
Would you like me to address this, David?
Yes, please, Fadi. Thank you.
So thank you both, Jonathan and Michele. High level, let me just be clear on what I mean by we will participate, but we can't be the convener. We are part of the solution. There is no question. At some point, a role may be needed on our end, and we have a contract and a mechanism to do that. However, the collection of stakeholders that are needed to make a decision or to make a determination that a copyright has been infringed upon, or that a site is indeed a terror site, or that a pharmacy is indeed harmful, those groups of stakeholders that need to be involved in those determinations are far beyond ICANN. So they need to, the community of people who are concerned with those issues, whatever the issue is, let's say copyright for the day, they need to come together in some other form that is appropriate for them, and we will participate because we are part of that community, but we are not the community. And they need to then come up with arrangements or solutions. I mean, I remind people how spam, which of course the Wicket wanted to make a treaty, but that spam is largely solved. And how was it solved? Through voluntary activities that the community put together that led to something like Spam House, which most people take their output in a voluntary way and use to reduce spam. And it works. I reminded yesterday in a discussion with a senator who is talking to me about this issue that the movie industry has a voluntary rating that seems to work well. Why can't we look for voluntary solutions that are community-driven? But again, not ICANN-driven, not ICANN-led, because we are part of the solution, we are not the solution. Now, to answer Jonathan, he says, what practical things we're doing. First, I'm working with Alan in a positive, constructive, responsible way to convey that message. We are part of the solution, we're not the solution. We are a responsible party in that solution. We and our community are willing to work, but we cannot be leading that solution. And ICANN cannot be the place, because ICANN doesn't have all the stakeholders who can decide if a pharmacy is good or bad, or if a copyright has been infringed. We are not the place to do that. Of course, the next challenge becomes, fine, you know, if we're all agreeing on these, and yesterday, by the way, in my discussions with senior leaders in the IP community, and I'm continuing that dialogue, and I'll call everyone that I need to, including folks on this call who are very knowledgeable about this, where do we go? Where is the forum that is multi-stakeholder, that is global, that is hopefully non-governmental, but rather private sector-led, because most of the stakeholders in this discussion are private sector. Where do we go to do that? And fine, so no one has a direct answer. Well, I'm participating in challenging them to find that place. And when we find that place, we will, as a community, cooperate and discuss if this is an appropriate place that has the right criteria for us to participate in. That's what we're doing in practice. It's a very active dialogue, and it's a dialogue based on facts and principles that assure the world we are committed to the public interest and to work properly in this, but we are not the solution. We are part of the solution. And of course, finally, conveying that voluntary solutions are actually far more effective than solutions that frankly are imposed through legal systems. And one of the heads of the big associations of content producers in Washington yesterday told me he is now convinced that if he got every senator and congressman to vote on the toughest copyright law to protect his association's members, that it would be pretty much worthless. Because the technology, A, moves faster than a law can be made and implemented, and secondly, because the problem is largely global, not within one jurisdiction, in this case, the U.S. in this case, that if you don't have global agreement, and therefore he concluded, these must be voluntary mechanisms, that are developed by the community. So I'm getting very good feedback, and I continue to work on this with you. Thank you.
Thank you, and there's a lively discussion and back and forth in the chat as well on that, and of course we'll be hearing more from Alan Grogan on these activities. Patrick Qualstrum, you're next, and then Alberto.
Thank you very much, and I speak as the chair of ESSAC and not co-chair of ICG, which I am also. ESSAC unfortunately cannot have people present in the CCWG meeting in Los Angeles, so I'm working on, hopefully, I will be able to send off a mail to the CCWG before the end of today, so they at least get some input from us, even though we cannot be present. I also think that matrices like the one that has been created that we were showed by us by you, Fadi, is helpful. But I think one should remember that also when doing these kind of matrices, there are some details that are lost where there might be some disagreements, or if not disagreements, that people don't have the same view of what it entails. For example, one thing that we in FSAC has always been nervous about is that when we talk to people, people don't have the same view of what an IANA decision is. What decisions do actually IANA make? And if people don't have exactly the same precise view of that, it is a little bit confusing to talk about whether people have the same or different view of giving community power to appeal such a decision if people don't really understand exactly what it is that IANA make decisions on. Another thing that I also that is something to just think about, and we will send that in, repeat our comments on from an ESSAC perspective that the PDPs in ICANN must be much, much more clear so that the PDP and GNSO and CCNSO separate whatever they are asking ICANN to do and whatever they're asking IANA to do, so it's clear for everyone what actually are IANA decisions, in a similar way that the PDP that IETF is running is extremely clear of what are IANA actions and what algorithm and what formula, what decisions IANA is supposed to make, which are only objective decisions, never make subjective decisions. The second thing that I also hear that I'm a little bit nervous about is that even though we have on a 30,000-foot level said that CCWG is dividing their work into Workstream 1, which is what is needed for the transition and nothing more, and then Workstream 2, which is the rest. When we in ESSAC and myself have been asking people why certain things belong to Workstream 1, sometimes people have responded in words that sounds like we don't believe that anything in Workstream 2 will be done. So when making these kind of matrices like this one, I think it's also extremely important that ICANN, NTA, and everyone else that is involved really convince people that all of these items will be dealt with and nothing will be forgotten, even though, like, the lines at the bottom are extremely hard issues. So some kind of commitment or wording or whatever that promise people that the work will continue even though Workstream 1 is done is something that I also think is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Again, let me just be clear. This is not a positioning slide, nor a slide rendering judgment on what should be in Workstream 1 or Workstream 2. This is very much what I call a consensus-building slide. That's all it is. I think people may then, take things that I put in column 2 and put them in column 1, or people may take things in column 1 and put them in column 3. So, but the reading all the comments, and by the way, you mentioned something important. Most people watching this process, and I think much earlier Michele was saying we have day jobs, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, most of it with legal jargon that most of us, are struggling to keep up with. And so this attempt was simply, for those of us who have read those hundreds and hundreds of pages, to bring up to a level of consensus building what we think are the key elements, and I think that covers most of the key elements, if not all of them. And our best assessment as to where we think we have broad agreement based on reading everybody's comments. We may be wrong. We may not so each group hopefully will take the slide and move things around. That's okay, but at least then we are starting to build a common understanding so that not just 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people who have the time to read these hundreds of pages and have the legal inclination to do so participate, but rather hopefully the broader community who will have a very, very big impact from the outcome of this. For example, look at these three bottom items where I put question marks. These are very powerful things. They are elements of the current proposal where we don't have broad agreement because there is no consensus from the community input so far, it seems, on those things. So we need, but however, we all need to understand them. Today, unless we put proper safeguards and clear definitions, if we move forward with these, then certain parts of our community, not our whole community, not every SO and AC, but certain SO and ACs who participate in some structure will have the unilateral right to change any and all bylaws. These are powerful instruments that need to be understood, right? We need not my view, Patrick, we need leaders like you and me and others to come together on a common view. We need to start building a common view so that it's not my view against your view. We're way past the point of my view versus your view. We need to get into a common view. And I'm just invigorating that. I'm not leading it. I don't want to lead it. It's not my job to lead it. I'm just hoping we start with common ground. We need it badly now. Otherwise, we will descend into duels that, frankly, are not helpful. Our community is bigger than that, and the process we're managing is very important. So I urge all of us to build a common view, to work together towards a common view. Thank you. David, I give it back to you. I'm not sure if there are other hands or questions. I see Alberto has his hand up.
Yes, Alberto, please.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, David, and thank you very much, Fadi. I think the matrix is really good for everything we are doing. And perhaps if we have time, we could have a... This would be the ground for a planning system to determine the different threats, weaknesses, strengths, and so on, so that we can keep on moving in our planning. But I don't think we have the necessary time. However, I would like to say something about copyright and intellectual property, but I think Fadi has been clear enough. Now, when it comes to public interest, I think this is the place where we should apply the bottom-up model, because there are many types of governments, if you will, around the world, and in many places the interest, the public interest concept is being discussed. For example, if if internet is a public interest for one country, that would not be the same, or the same concept would not be applied in Switzerland, for example, or Sweden, or in Venezuela. So when we say public interest, and when we declare internet public interest in a country with non-democratic governments or countries with certain level of democracy, well, they can be in detriment of the freedom of certain communities. That's why I say we should focus on the bottom-up model. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. Very good comments. Phil Corin, you are next.
Yes, thank you, Phil Corwin, for the record. Good morning to all, whatever time it is where you are. I just wanted to say I found this chart. I think there's a very good approach for kind of organizing the next round of the CCWG's work in Los Angeles starting tomorrow and Saturday. I did request in the chat that we – excuse me?
Please go ahead.
Oh, okay. I did request that it be helpful we could get this distributed. I wasn't able to copy it out of the chat room. Not necessarily endorsing every check mark that it's correct, but it's really, I've read a huge amount of material in this accountability process, but I have not personally reviewed all 88 comments and can't make a personal determination of whether these marks are indicative of where the consensus lies. But I think it's a very useful approach on one that I think is particularly important, which is in the third group, the Empower Committee with New Legal Enforcement. That really gets down to whether we're going to go with the single-member model or the alternate model proffered by the board. My personal view is that the community's work on the single-member model provides broader powers with greater enforceability. But again, that's up to the working group. So I'll just conclude by saying this is a good approach, and it would be helpful if we could all get a copy of this slide to help formulate our own thinking over the next few days as this process rolls forward. Thank you.
Phil, if I may, thank you very
yes,
much for your thoughtful comments. Can you just tell me, because I know how close you are to this, is it helpful? I'm going to send it to everyone on this call, but we're trying to be helpful. We don't want to interfere with the work of the community. We are very respectful. Do you think it's helpful to share that slide? At least personally feeling that this would be a helpful tool to at least get out and have people make it a dialogue piece?
Yes, I do. I think it's a good way to kind of organize the remaining work ahead. Others can say, is there anything that's missing here? Is there some element that somehow didn't get listed? Individuals and certainly the CCWG can draw their own conclusions of where the consensus lies at this moment if they review all 88 comments and get a feel for where the community is at. And on the timing, there's some things personally in that last box I would say are not critical right now, particularly, removing directors without cause. That's a personal opinion. But again, that's up for the CCWG. The one thing I think is really important to remember is, and I think you're correct, Fadi, is that the work going on in the CCWG has been Herculean. I think what they produced in a relatively short time is remarkable. And it is a test of whether the multi-stakeholder model can deal with very complex and difficult challenges. I think so far it's getting very high grades. It doesn't get a complete yet, but it's when you look at this chart and when you think of how far we've come, the progress has been remarkable, and there's no reason to think that it can't be brought to a safe harbor, successful conclusion within the next few months.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Phil. Thank you for the advice. And I did send this chart before I went to bed last night to the CCWG chairs and sought their input. I'll wait for their input and will certainly take it in full consideration given their important role. And I assured them this is not an effort to in any way supersede, but rather to support them and to bring our community and especially the broader community who is not as close to the comments and the depth. I think the Sidley lawyers of the CCWG also just released another set of hundreds of pages. So there's just so much material, and we need to come together around some simple but clear lines of where we agree. So, but thank you. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and we'll be sending the summary chart slide to people after this call. In terms of the timing, we have about 15 minutes. The agenda, we can shorten it toward the end. But I'd like to just have Teresa talk a little bit about the summary of the CCWG public comments. Teresa? Teresa, maybe you're on mute. We cannot hear you.
Teresa just got disconnected. She texted me, and she's dialing back in.
Okay. Thank you. She's dialing back in. Thank you very much. And then after Teresa's summary of the comments, we'll briefly talk about our Dublin preparations, and we'll probably, yes. Teresa, are you with us, huh? As she is dialing back, we will also have to postpone the discussion of our last agenda point on the inventory community matrix to a note we'll send to you, and we'll put that on the agenda for our workshop on the 16th of October in Dublin as we move forward on finalizing that agenda.
David, it's Jonathan. While we wait for Teresa to dial in, I'll just make a comment that's on record that I think this is a very constructive sort of one-pager, and I agree with Fadi. I mean, I'm reasonably into the weeds on all of this and on the detail, and I'm struggling to keep up for it. I'm just going through the Sidley and related legal memos today relating to the CCWG's work. So I think bringing it up to this level, even if it's simply as a device to focus people's attention, let alone the ultimate intended outcome of ensuring that it drives hopefully a greater level of consensus. So I'm very happy to go on record and say, you know, hopefully this is a useful tool to make the weekend's work very constructive, because clearly there's quite a challenge, and there's, you know, it's clear that there's quite some sensitivity going into all of this. So anything that can bring the temperature down and create focus and opportunity for consensus is to be welcomed. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan. Indeed, most helpful. Teresa?
Yeah, my apologies. My apologies about that.
That's quite all right. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. Just a quick overview of the range of public comments that we did receive, and I know that many have seen the slide decks that have been circulated to the CCWG, and we have one that we can use here that we can circulate to the group. Quickly, on the IANA coordination group, that received 160 public comments, which is fantastic, and over the past 2 days here at a meeting in Los Angeles, the ICG had begun to review those and do an assessment, and I'll let Patrick weigh in on that and move forward on their analysis of the public comments and the next steps forward and questions back to the operating communities. So that was really a broad range of public comments that came in there. But let me focus in on the CCWG in light of also the slide that Fadi had shown. In that case, there were 90 comments that were received, and the distribution was really quite broad from the United States or North America, about 29, from Europe about 21, Asia Pacific 13, Africa 2, Latin America 5, and then globally, which includes the SOs and ACs, 13. What we saw in the general overall assessment of that is that there was broad support for areas around the request for reconsideration, fundamental bylaws, the power to approve and reject standard bylaws, the power to remove individual board members, and diversity, and then some of the items that had been identified in Workstream 2. which also are things that are part of the continued evolution of the organization. And I think we need to look at a long-term way of how we continue to evolve the organization while still staying in the context of the criteria that have been set out by NTIA. But there was a lot of areas, if one drills down into the comments, and this is then also part of the dialogue that we can be having in the next days in Los Angeles, where there was really questions around further details and clarification. And in those areas, the main buckets that had a lot of requests for details and further clarification that came from different community members in the public comments, also with ideas on how to try to solve for them, were really around the independent review process and around the empowerment mechanism. So in this case, what was captured in the proposal that was put out for public comment, the sole member model. Areas around the power to veto the budget, operating, and strategic plan that had quite a range of comments around concerns or clarifications and details, so not having agreement yet on how to deal with those. And then the power to recall the entire board, as well as the topic around human rights and how that might be dealt with. So those were, from the comments overall, sort of the range where they were and where there seemed to be broader community agreement and support, and then areas where there was really details and clarification. And the public comment analysis that has gone out was accompanied by a higher-level slide deck that breaks out, you know, how many comments were provided in relation to the IRP, how many were provided in relation to the GAC role. And we can, with David, get that recirculated to this group. While it was sent to the CCWG, we can make sure that it gets out to this group as well. For those that, as Mihaly and others noted, have day jobs, and some of this is a little bit hard to follow from that standpoint. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions in addition to, obviously, the conversation we've had about the high-level overview table that we were talking about earlier, which really tries to, you know, pull out where there is broader agreement and where there's areas that we need to start fleshing out. So I hope that helps.
Thank you, Teresa. And are any comments or questions? I will also circulate that summary slide that Teresa was talking about. I think that will be also helpful to add to the overview she just provided.
David, just to say from my end before we close on the accountability that I wrote it in the chat. I'm please urging each one of us here on this call to participate. I know we've been way down in the weeds, as many of you have said, but this is the moment. This is the moment where we really need everyone to have their eyes on this process, because the as much as I am the one that has repeated that we must get this right, not just on time, but right. However, we cannot be oblivious to the fact that we do have an important window where everyone from Obama to Secretary Pritzker to Larry Strickling to congressional leaders aligned with us that if we can design a safe and accountable ICANN and a home for IANA that is not capturable, that we're good to go. Let's not miss this important opportunity, this respect that we have received that now demands our completion of this effort. And it is in that spirit that I ask each of you now, to please watch very carefully this process and help us all make a serious assessment looking at this chart. What is enough to replace the U.S. backstop role, as Larry asked us to refocus on this yesterday? Where do we have consensus? And what is enough to replace the U.S. backstop role? That's where our focus should be. So I urge you, please, I beg you, for the sake of ICANN, for the sake of the multi-stakeholder model, for the stability of this important mission we all have, to participate now. This is the moment to watch closely what's happening. And I thank you all for everything you've done. This is not to say many of you on this call have not given amazing voluntary time to this, but this is a critical moment. I just wanted to drive that home, David. Thank you.
Thank you, Fadi and Teresa, for the explanations and the questions that were raised. With that, I will just quickly go to the last item on the agenda. We'll hold off on the activity matrix for a note in our conversation in Dublin, but just to focus, focus on our preparations for Dublin. Again, as we were discussing, because of the press of business, we are not going to have our SOAC high interest topic session on Monday. Because of the focus needed for the important work we're talking about today. And we will continue that for the next ICANN meeting in Marrakesh. We will have, of course, in the afternoon on Friday, the 16th of October in Dublin, our regular workshop of the community leaders followed by the dinner. And because it is the AGM, we also have some transition, new incoming leaders as well as outgoing leaders who will be joining us for that purpose as well. So with that, I wanted to just say that I will be sending some more information to you about our Dublin workshop on the 16th of October, as well as soliciting some comments for the agenda. I thought it would also be a helpful aspect to ask our CTO, David Conrad, to prepare and give a little briefing to us about his work at the 16th workshop. I think that would be a very helpful time, as well as our other regular agendas. With that, I would just say if there are any other comments or questions, I will just go to a quick summary. We thank Fadi for his stressing of the accountability and providing the consensus-building slide that we'll be sharing with you after this call. As well as mentioning the need for a clarification on IP enforcement, and there has been an active dialogue in the chat and a continuing, I'm sure, dialogue among those interested parties, and also the focus on public interest and the definition of that has somewhat been overtaken by our other priorities, but that is still continuing, and Nora will be having a discussion with the GNSO Council, among others, as well. With that, I will beginning to send more information to you about our Dublin preparations, and I thank you all for your time and attention here on today's call, and I will be sending the consensus building slide and the summary of the CCWG work, public comment report, to all of you after this call. With that, I would like to thank you all for your participation and active comments, and wish everyone a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. Thank you very much.
Thank you.